Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
Everything I contemplate, been seasons, moving through them, that's okay, keep checking, see if you might come these ways.
Bye.
here with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver's radio station. I am your host, Issa Arian. And sorry about that for getting started a little late. I have had some technical difficulties this morning. But we do this every Thursday from 7 to 8. Thank you for tuning in. That was Silo Nozera. Like every week, I like to like listen to some new music that I've never heard of before. Some new artists, and I really like that song. I feel like he has like this Shagabon vibe, and I don't know if you know who Shagabon is, but another artist who I found. This show today might be a little short, as I didn't read an email that said we were doing some updates to the system here. And so, like, when we talk about freestyle, this is exactly what the show is going to be. Like, I have a lot for you, but you know what that means? That means next week we can help push it a little bit. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland here from Pacific Spirit Park. And if you've never listened to Off the Beaten Path, what we like to do here is we talk a little bit about some local news. We talk about some Canadian-wide news, some news from down south, some global news, just really anything that will have you feeling a little bit more informed as you head into the weekend, and anything that will have you feeling a little interesting. Like, if you don't have any opinions, or you have great ones, or you just like, meh, about a lot of things, well, you can listen here, you can call in, you can tell us about them, you can even talk to the show, you can talk to me on Twitter at Spoonie underscore love, or on Instagram. They probably should be the same thing, but they used to be, and I just decided to change it. Anyways, if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487, that's 604- UBCCITR if your math is no good. And I know that, you know, whether you're listening, getting ready for like school, you're getting ready to drop your kids off at school, maybe you're getting ready to go to work, maybe you're at work right now already. You know, we start here with the weather here in Vancouver. Today will be a high and bright, sunny ass day with a high of 21. Tomorrow, Saturday, will both be raining with highs of 15 and 16. However, if you, like me, have off on Monday, you will be delighted to see that it will be a high of 22 and sunny on Sunday and Monday. So you can, you know, turn up a little bit, maybe on the beach. Like, I plan on going to Wreck Beach on Sunday. I feel like it's appropriate, you know, as Memorial Day weekend passes. In the United States, that's like when the pools open. And so, you know, it's just, you know, it feels like very natural to just go to the beach that day and enjoy the weather. And if you don't live in Vancouver, I hope your weather is great as well. But probably not looking good for you. Anyways, let's just start off. There's a lot going on here in BC. And, like, there's always, I feel like, ever since I started doing this radio show, I have really identified a theme that goes on in the BC news. And I mean, we talk about this every week. It's just homelessness, drugs, housing, and weed. And so, absent from the news cycle, I feel like in the past, I don't know, I want to say a few weeks at least, but maybe months, is housing, homelessness, drugs, weed. But homelessness is back. Housing is back. Weed, I feel like, is not back, but it's always there. And it is interesting because in just the past few, I guess like the housing market in Vancouver has plummeted, which I did not know. I didn't know that. Like, how would I know that? That's not something that, I mean, while I care about it because I think that it would be lovely to be able to own a house here one day, it doesn't really have a material effect. It's not like when the housing market goes down, my rent gets cheaper. That's not how it works. But apparently people have lost hundreds of millions of dollars in equity over the Lower Mainland. And I believe this to mean that the governmental, I don't want to say interference, but their engagement in the housing market has been working, at least to maintain stagnation. And when a market, I don't know if you guys know this, but about economics. So when the growth, there is no growth, what happens is it turns into a recession because people, instead of investing in an area where there's zero growth, they will just move their money to an area where there is. So if you're looking to buy a house, like, this could be the best time for you if you can afford it. So you should be checking it out. You know, we also talk a lot about animals here on the show. And I was a little sad to see this story about how there's a sailboat that was sailing in Howe Sound down from Squamish, and a pod of orcas surrounded the sailboat, and they seemed to be having fun as they sprayed and splashed their tail around. And, like, I don't want to say that I sail only for the, like, I don't know if you guys know me. We probably don't, but maybe you do, and you know that I sail. I like to sail. Like, I don't, what is, like, an avid sailor? I would say that if there was one, it would probably be me, like, sans boat. But, like, I like to sail a lot. And those are the types of moments which I love. And I feel like this weekend, this past weekend particularly, is a weekend where the whales are just out. Because last year during there's a race around Salt Spring, I saw some whales, and I thought that was beautiful. And it was just great because the sail was so terrible. We just sat there for hours upon hours and didn't move. But it was great because we saw some whales. And I'm just jealous that these whales were so close to the sailboat and just relaxing, because there's nothing better than seeing a wild animal not kill you. You know, like, if you know me and you know this show, then you know that I'm team animals pretty much on most shit. So when the whales are coming, you know, so when, like, you know, the mountain lion, I'm rooting for the mountain lion. Or the bears, you know, I'm pretty much rooting for a bear to bear, you know, because I want the bears to keep bearing until there's no more bears left, you feel me? However, seeing whales that aren't whaling towards you would be great. Like, I would love to see a whale, you know, catch one of those seals that are just in the water, or like, even chase one. I think that would be great. Unless I'm the seal and the whale's coming for me. But not likely. And one of the things that I feel like sailing does for me is it gives me time to, like, time without my phone, time to think, just time outside. And according to a Harvard study on the CBC, is that if you want to be happier, you should focus on time and not money. And sometimes I feel like when you read these stories, you're like, well, no shit, but it's hard to have time when you're broke. Like, I feel like the difference between academic studies and real life is that sometimes they come up with dumb shit like this. Like, you know, if you want to be happy, focus on time, not money, because, you know, you can always get more money, but you can never have enough time. You know, or they say something you know, or people have those quotes where it's like, you know, the only thing more valuable than money is time. Or somebody's, my favorite one is, I know a guy so poor, all he has is money, or something like that. But I am a firm believer that, like, in our capitalist society, that you need to definitely have, like, a minimum amount of money to have a certain amount of time. Like, I don't think that they are correlated. Like, with this past week, I had just been really doing some introspective thinking and thinking about, you know, number one, like, why am I not rich, as, you know, AF yet? Like, that's really my number one thought is, like, why am I not rich? It's a constant thought I have, like, every day. I just think, like, why am I not rich? Like, not necessarily, like, really working towards being rich. Like, if you know me, like, I would like to work. I like to do a lot of things. But, like, not necessarily, like, money. Getting money is not, like, my focus. If you focus on getting money, I don't think you ever turn on Game of Thrones, because you automatically lose hours to it, like weeks and months of your life. However, this is a thought that I have, just like, why was I not born rich? Like, I didn't consent to being born middle class. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And these theories, they know that. Like, and they know that you need to have a minimum amount of money. Like, the people who I know that work the hardest are poor. Like, I would say, like, that, you know, I know some people who work hard, like, multiple jobs, like, two and three jobs, not, you know, maybe even three and four different jobs. Like, these are not people who are, you know, bumming and just using up society. But they seem to be struggling the most when all they have to do, all they're doing is selling their time. And when you see the difference between that and, like, this fictitious grind culture that we have, where I don't know when it started, but, like, just, like, the incessant posting on Instagram or Snapchat or, you know, Twitter or whatever, or YouTube or whatever, you know, and it's just, like, from celebrities down to regular-ass, broke-ass people who, like, get up every day and they're, like, you know, look at me, I'm grinding, I'm working towards, like, grind mode, you know, look at me pushing towards grind mode, you know, and this idea that, like, the most successful people are just out here working, you know, just grinding all the time. And that's just not true. I know, like, I grew up with a lot of rich people, and I don't actually know what their parents are doing. But they did sure enough go on vacation a lot. Like, and maybe their parents were working really hard, you know, when they weren't on vacation, but they vacationed enough that I'm just like, wow, my mom is, I've never been on this many vacations. It doesn't make any sense. However, if you'd like to read this article on CBC, I think it'd be pretty interesting for you, just to see, like, why aren't you as happy as you can be? And, you know, what are you doing with your time that is keeping you from being happy? Like, they acknowledge how poverty is the most detrimental to people, you know, in their happiness. So it's interesting that you can say, be happy, focus on money. Focus on time, not money. However, also acknowledge that the reason why people are unhappy is because poverty, and poverty equals you not having access to funds, which means you don't have access to fun. It's interesting, but not in the same time. Not, it is interesting. I don't know. You decide. What I do think that we can all agree upon is that people who poach trees not only need to be punished, but punished severely. Like, if you listen to the show, or you just have ever had a conversation with me in life and brought up, like, a dog or a golden retriever, you know, particularly of the dog breed, you know that, like, I love dogs, but for me, they're just animals. You know, they're just pets, like, just waiting on one day that dog can return to being, like, an actual dog and do some useful things. However, most dogs are pretty useless. And so when I hear, like, so when a discussion that comes up, you know, inevitably talking about dogs is Michael Vick. And I was like, I don't think he should have gone to jail for that. I just think that people overreacted. Like, what he did was, I'm not saying what he did was great. I don't think it was good at all. I think it was, some parts of it was horrible. But, like, you know, that's his decision to do with his dogs for me. However, there's a man in the Kootenays, a man or a woman. I don't know. I don't want to make an assumption. However, the district recently bought a plot of land so that they can make it a park. And the centerpiece of this park was going to be this 450-year-old cedar, which this development group had planned on cutting down just a few months ago. And over the weekend, somebody poached the tree. Now, I didn't know that tree poaching was a thing. I didn't also didn't know that there were trees that were worth thousands of dollars. But how can a tree that is priceless be worth thousands of dollars? Like, I feel like there needs to be a good reason for cutting down a 450-year-old tree. Like, I feel like that person who, I feel like when you like have a significant impact to like the environment or the ecology of a system, and that provides joy and like is a public good to all people who encounter it, not even who have seen it, but just like people like me who just like to know that that tree still exists and is still alive and breathing, you know, communicating through other trees, just like, you know, doing this tree thing. You know, providing homes for birds and things like that. When you hear about a tree being poached, first off, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? You know, like, what is that about? Also, you're like, that is horrible, because not only are you stealing from whoever owns the land, which happens to be the government, but you're stealing from whoever was going to plan on going to that park. You're stealing from everybody. And it is not your decision. So I feel like you should be punished as if you harmed thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people, because essentially that's what you've done. You've not only robbed me, but you've robbed future generations of being able to see these beautiful old trees, because there's not that many 450-year-old trees left, and that needs to be acknowledged. Now, when we come back from a short musical break, we are going to discuss how the government is treating another type of tree. And if you listen to me, this is probably something that you need to be aware of.
I'm living on borrowed time, so I might as well try out the heights. Let it reap between the lines, as I'm sipping on this cherry wine. And it's time that I'm taking, tell these other guys I'm mistaken. But now we can dance in the moonlight, take my hand and watch the night sky. We'll be right back.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR's radio station. I am your host, Issa Arian, and the trees. So the federal government has given the British Columbian government $10 million to crack down on stone drivers. I don't really know what that means. I don't know what they're going to do with that money, except for they are going to use it to try to catch more people who are drugged out, according to this article. Border Security and Organized Crime Reduction Minister Bill Blair made the announcement, and he said the decision on what technologies to invest and train officers in are entirely the purview of the police chiefs across the country. But this will help the province get a clear picture on the extent of the problem to analyze trends, identify gaps, and respond appropriately. Now, if you've ever driven high, I don't want anybody to lie and say that being high doesn't impair your driving ability. But I don't also want people to go out of the way and say being high is like driving drunk, because it's not. They aren't the same things. Like, I still believe that driving tired is probably I've driven under all kinds of conditions, but being tired is the most dangerous one, not just to me, but to other people. Like, if you get behind the wheel tired or exhausted, I'm more scared than if somebody told me that they had a few beers or a few glasses of wine. And there's no way to test for, sleep debt, because there's a joke in our office that sleep debt is our number one choice of drug. One, because we just work a lot, but also, I don't know if you've ever been super really tired and tried to do anything. You feel like you are wasted. Not like in a good way. I guess being wasted is never good. Wasted just doesn't even sound good, but you feel, drunk, but it's not a great feeling. However, the government is going to try to crack down on high drivers. And so what that means is probably means you probably shouldn't smoke weed in your car. Probably should be a start. Maybe have some smell good in there and make sure that you don't hit me on my bike. I was talking about this yesterday with my roommate about the fears of driving drunk. Fears of riding your bike. And my number one fear riding my bike is getting hit by a car. I feel like, obviously. But I've almost been hit on my bike, I would say, at least 10 times in my life. Not 10 times, a week. It doesn't happen that often. But I have it's weird for me, because when you almost get hit, the relief, I'm both relieved and terrified, but the driver is only relieved, the driver of the car, because when I ride my bike and let's say I hit a car or I get hit by a car, the driver is not going to be physically hurt. They are going to maybe have some emotional trauma, depending on how hurt I am. Or maybe some physical trauma to their car. Depends on how hard they hit me, and which way my body goes. Hopefully I'm going through the windshield. That's my idea. I feel like you need to be punished for hitting me, for striking me on my bike. Anyways, but when you swerve around them and you miss them, they are very relieved that you did not hit them. And you don't have the same feeling. So, if you were smoking, I know that you probably might not even notice that you almost hit me. But believe that, if you hit me on your bike, I will make it a thing. By making it a thing, I'm going to try to reach in the window. Anyways. There have been a few... I'll say before we get into, I wouldn't want to say funny stories, but other stories that would piss me off. And I find those to be pretty funny. In Penticton, another lawmaker is trying to make something else illegal, and that is fine homeless people for sitting on the sidewalk. $100 fine for sitting on the sidewalk. And I saw yesterday there was an even larger fine. Oh, holy shit. There is an even larger fine for sleeping on the sidewalk. And as we, you know, move on a little bit from that Harvard research article where they talk about, you know, spend time on money, spend your time thinking about how you spend your time rather than how you spend your money, you know, to be a happier. You know, we see we are still continuing to punish people with money for being poor. So when you are homeless, you don't have anywhere to go. And if Penticton doesn't have a place for you, you're just stuck. And so, and if you are stuck and you take a seat on the sidewalk, well, that's going to cost you $100. And if you don't have $100, that means they're probably going to send you to jail. So, like, criminalizing homelessness is terrible because we don't criminalize the things that make people homeless, which are, like, I mean, and this happens in the States and Canada. Like, you're not going to go homeless in Canada from a medical bill, but you will. There are other bills and, you know, housing prices that have costed you out of being able to secure shelter. And so, like, if you are being fined for being homeless and being poor, how are you going to spend your time thinking about what you should be doing with your time? Because obviously you don't have anything else to do. You just have time to sit. And we're in a society where we, like, have, you know, benches everywhere because there's working people everywhere, and people deserve a place to sit. You should always remember that there are places, like, in the world, like Penticton, where they don't allow poor people to have that privilege. Another thing that would piss me off is this. There was a woman at Thetis Lake who was shoved off a 12-meter cliff into a lake. Now, this is something that I fear all the time. I feel like when you hike, you know, you're just surrounded by a bunch of strangers, like, especially when you're at Quarry Rock. Like, I feel like Quarry Rock for me is, like, the number one place where I get most nervous around being around strangers, because it's a lot of kids there. And not only is there a lot of kids, but there's a lot of idiots, you know. And I think kids is synonymous with idiots, because, but not all kids are idiots, but, like, most of them. But, like, all idiots have been kids. I don't know. There's, like, some weird transitive property going on there. However, there's idiots there. And so not only idiots, but there's inexperienced hikers. And so people who, like, intentionally or unintentionally, you know, could fall off of the cliff. And I don't think it's happened yet, but it could. However, this woman was intentionally pushed from behind as she was, like, looking over, maybe taking a picture with her phone. There's three drunk women there, and one of them pushed her into the lake. And unfortunately for her, she was able to swim away, swim to shore. But, like, by the time I swam to shore, those people better be long gone, because I am coming back with the yammer. And when I mean yammer, I mean the fist, because, you know, in Canada, it's illegal to carry a gun. I feel like somebody has to go, you know, like that. Like, you can't push me off a cliff, because I might have got hurt, just like riding a bike. Like, I might have been actually hurt. And so if I'm reaching a window for hitting me on my bike, you know, when you're just probably trying to get to work, if we're just relaxing and you think that it's all fun and games to push me off of cliffs, guess what? No fun, no games. Yeah. So, when we get back, we're going to talk about how global warming is looking to affect the world in the next 100 years. And then also, I'm trying to find, like, what should we lead the next segment with? Drake, we'll be back.
Dominator heater. 95 was a minute shit pop. Mirror, mirror, tell me who's sleep. Alice in Wonderland, falling deep. Terror, 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 mirror on the wall, ayy. Tell a hater who's the biggest flexor of them all, ayy. Mirror, mirror, tell me who's hot. I don't need five, what's a minute shit pop. Mirror, mirror, tell me who's sleep. Alice in Wonderland, falling deep. Terror, 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 mirror on the wall, ayy. Tell a hater who's the biggest flexor of them all, ayy. Mirror, mirror, I bet you I deliver. Charles Lee Ray, Charles Play, bring the terror. Red jacket on, goes on me like Dula. Bitch, come out of play, where we are, I'm a killer.
Killer.
Knock you out cold, watch you shiver. All your flows, old man, I can see a quiver. Snake man's on the road, I can hear him slither. This my midsummer night's dream, come hither. Bitch, come hither. Left you, said she swipe me right on Tinder. She wanna see my prize like Kinder. Gone open wide, I can reach you in the center. Now you gotta see me like I'm right in your retina. Like I'm in 3D, I call a trifecta. Trendsetter, pacemaker, light like fellas. But you know we got the hitters, ayy. Mirror, mirror, tell me who's hot. I don't need five, what's a middle shit pop.
Mirror, mirror,
tell me who's sleep. I was in Wonderland, falling in deep.
Terror, 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 terror,
mirror on the wall, ayy. Tell a hater who's the biggest. Mirror, mirror, tell me who's hot. I don't need five, what's the middle shit pop. Mirror, mirror, tell me who's sleep. Alice in Wonderland, falling deep. Terror, 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 mirror on the wall, ayy. Tell a hater who's the biggest flexor of them all, ayy. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the biggest flexor of them all? I shall call and I like to ball. I may wall, don't like the law. I walk in like 10 feet tall. Your girlfriend all on my drawers. Raw, suck me like a straw. My girl sweet like ball, ball. When you depper, John be the whopper. Coming for the number one twice like a lover. I'ma rage till I reach a pulley, get to heaven. I'm not fazed by a hater, they can get to steppin'. Steppin', steppin', like a Nick Cannon. Bottin' out fire in my mouth, I'm a druggin'. Got some clout, but that ain't the reason I be bragging. Larger mouths be the only reason my pants are again. Yeah. Keep it candid. Fake hoes talking down, nah, I won't stand it. Get the dough, never leave a show empty handed. If I see a foe, catch a by a toe, bag him. Got my weed rolls, smoke, then I fucking pass it. Sour diesel, got me all the way active. Pull up UFO like bitch, I just landed. Mirror, mirror, who's the biggest flex on the planet?
Bays on me, they bikes. Put a few pound, no diet. Got the shit down to science, yeah. I get so excited. I do not need no diamonds. She do not need no vices. We do not wait, not righteous, yeah. I get so excited. All the bays on me, they bias. Put a few pounds, no diet. Got the shit down to science, yeah. I get so excited. I do not need no diamonds. She do not need no vices. We do not wait, not righteous, yeah. I get so excited.
I be on the road. Another dollar, another day. If she tell me not to go, then all I could do is wait. I say I be on the roof. Another dollar, another day. If she tell me not to go, then all I could do is wait.
Look, her shit, it is not fire. New shit coming like a tidal wave. Been in that booth like 5 days. Chicago survival raid. I'ma keep it jazz like Johnny Train. Y'all niggas counting their bodies. Lane, savage like Salvador. Hey, but I drop hits like Johnny Cage. Stay dive, nigga, no shirt. Red alert in the front of the same city like dirt. Can't revert to the same shit that make a baby burp. All gas, no brakes. If a boy, I wanna skirt. Her favorite rapper caught it, so she tell me, oh, grr. And if I'm at a party, then I'm better dipping first. I don't wanna judge, no, this is not church. But if she wanna touch, the decision hers. I mean, dance on another planner. Richard Branson. All the bays on me, they bites. Put a few pound, no diet. Got the shit down to science, yeah. I get so excited. I do not need no diamonds. She do not need no vices. We do not wait, not righteous, yeah. I get so excited.
I be on the road. Another dollar, another day. If she tell me not to go, then all I could do is wait. I say I be on the road. Another dollar, another day. If she tell me not to go, then all I could do is wait.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Yeah, so if you hadn't known, the Toronto Raptors are in the Eastern Conference Finals versus the Milwaukee Bucks. And the last two games have been played in Toronto. And if you are like a watcher or like a little bit of knower of pop culture, you know that Drake is a big Toronto Raptors fan. And so what Toronto, what Drake's doing right now is pissing everybody off. And not just like the athletes, not just like the fans, like what he normally does with his antics. He's pissing off the players and the coaches of the Bucks, which, I mean, you know, is part of, I guess, his job as the ambassador of the Toronto Raptors, like as he tries to usher Toronto and force feed it, you know, into the United States. I mean, yeah, force feed it to the United States as like a great city. Toronto's okay, but I mean, it's just, it's an okay city. However, Nick Nurse is the coach of the Toronto Raptors, and so there is a video of Drake in the last game, like rubbing this man's shoulders. Like, what the hell is this dude about? Like, there are so many, celebrities which go to these NBA playoff games. Like, there's so many celebrities that go to NBA games. Period. You know, they sit in a chair. Even they sit courtside. The camera pans to them. They wave, smile. Beyonce smiles. Rihanna smiles. Jay-Z, like Jack Nicholson, whatever one. He's always at the Lakers game. There's just so many celebrities. Like, literally every game is littered with celebrities. And everybody who's sitting around the court is, like, at least a multimillionaire. And Drake is the only one who stands out and he's clapping like he's at fantasy camp. You know, there's been so many instances where Drake has just been a terrible fan, you know, and a hop on. And this is just another instance. Like, if you listen to Crimes and Treasons on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 every Tuesdays, it's the best hip hop show in Canada here from CITR with me, Horsepower, Relly Rails, Homeboy Jules, Jamal Steeles, and Malik. You know that I like some of Drake's songs. But like as an entity, as an institution, I think he does a lot of Bama ass shit. Now, if you don't know what Bama is, then maybe you can go into Urban Dictionary or you can ask one of your friends from DC and they will let you know. Me, I'm not your friend. However, Drake is a Bama and he does Bama behavior, like stand up at the game. So it'll be interesting to see if he can still do that stuff when he when the games go back to Milwaukee tonight. But if Drake, if you're listening, stop it. And I'm sure I'm not the first person that said that. Another thing which should be scaring you is that every year we talk about global warming. Every like opportunity you might hear someone, you know, say like, hey, you know what's going to happen? Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. As sea levels rise, you know what? I think it's an opportunity. So, like, if you don't know, by the year 2100, I'll be dead, long dead. You'll probably be dead, too. Honestly, probably everyone that you know and everyone that they know will probably be dead. So, like, even if you had a kid today, your kid would probably be dead. It's a really morbid way to think about it. However, sometimes it could be a relief because, you know, damn, I don't have to deal with this shit. However, they suspect, I say they, scientists, I don't know where these scientists are at, clearly not in the White House, but they believe that sea levels will have risen by 2 meters by 2100. And that's scary because there's already places where they talk about if sea level rise, you know, a few inches, they'll be underwater because that's just the way the sea works. I don't know if you guys know how it works, but it's not like 1 inch rise and then like it's just like 1 inch everywhere and maybe you'll see like 1 inch more, you know, on the rocks, on the tide. No, it's like 1 inch and it, that could be several feet for some people. Interesting. 2 meters is a lot. And there will be a lot of places which will be underwater. And I think that one of the things that we don't really understand or really talk about very much is that when you think about sea levels rising and how that's going to change the weather systems, it's not just like the water rises, but the weather system is going to change and the weather patterns are going to change. And there's going to be some areas that are desert that could possibly be like, you know, the new rainforest. And there's going to be places that are much drier, you know, much more wet that are going to be dry. And it's just going to change a lot of things. So I believe this is an opportunity for some because there's going to be some places in the world that have not been looked at as great places to settle or maybe places to even like, no one's ever even thought about a beach here because it didn't exist. Because it was so far away from the water that it was like, yeah, there's sand here, you know, there's palm trees, but it's so far away from the water. This isn't a great place for a beach, or this isn't a great place to build a house. However, some of those places are going to start popping up. And so, like, I think that if you're listening and you got a lot of money, and you are looking for someone with futuristic ideas, like, invest in your boy, because what we can do is we can try to identify these places so that by 2021, like, yeah, I'll be dead, and you'll probably be dead too. But, like, we are thinking about the future and how can we leave or capitalize on global warming. And you can either sell boats, sell moats. I don't know what the other one. I was trying to think of another word that rhymed with boats and moats, but you know, if you know me, I'm not a rhymer. It's not my thing. Anyways, back to some more exciting news. If you are a WWE fan, or you're just a fan of pro wrestling in general, one of the things I find that has been, like, one of the most delightful things about my pro wrestling experience as I look back upon it was the wrestlers that I liked. If you don't know about pro wrestling, or this is your first time hearing about it, or maybe you, I feel like, no, Canada's pretty big. You got the Harts, you know, the Hart family, Canadians. And there's lots of other great Canadian wrestlers, you know. I think Chris Jericho's, I was going to say Chris Benoit, but might have been a great wrestler, but horrible father. I debated in my head whether I was going to say that joke, and then I forgot what I was talking about. No, but wrestling. As I look back at wrestling, like, the WWE or the formerly the WWF was known for its heavy-handed racist tropes, just so many awful things about it, you know. But it was entertaining, particularly for a kid, and something that came on, you know, in prime time, and it was athletic, and you know, it had just like everything you wanted, except for just so racist. One of the things that I feel like has been delightful as Twitter is you get to see just how, like, those heroes of old not only have age, but, like, how they think, because they are actual real people with real opinions who are doing real shit. Like, I was never really a fan of Hulk Hogan, and I'm glad, because, like, it wasn't hard for me to, like, divorce my love for Hulk Hogan from the horrible man that we have seen that he is, you know, like that. Like, I don't want to say he's a horrible man. Like, I don't know him, but he uses the word nigger a lot. And for me, that's enough. But Kevin Nash, I don't know if you know this guy, Big Sexy, also Mick Foley. They have been very, very outspoken on a lot of issues, particularly pertaining to racism and women's rights. And this past week, I've seen a series of tweets, and not just tweets, but also like videos that Kevin Nash has made in support of women against these draconian abortion laws that have been passed in the most recent weeks. And so, like, it's really nice to see, like, that, you know, in a racist industry such as pro wrestling, I would say racist industry, because the industry is Vince McMahon, and there's not a doubt in my mind that Vince McMahon is a racist. And if he's not a racist, he knows that there's money to be made on racism, and I feel like capitalizing on the racism makes you a racist. So, in the institution of racism, like, such as wrestling, there are there's athletes, not only the athletes that I root for now, because not like, you know, Cactus Jack or Mankind is still wrestling, but, you know, just knowing that, like, I wasn't rooting for racists when I was a little kid just makes me feel a little bit better. And I don't know if it should, but it does. And that's that. But the WWE is also getting a new competitor as Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho, and a few more are starting in AEW. And I think competition is good. I haven't watched wrestling in years, but I believe it is going to be good for business. Now, there's a few people who are smoking crack that I feel like you probably should know. One of those people is Conor McGregor. He went on his talk show with Tony Robbins and was saying how he wants to have a rematch with Floyd Mayweather because he knows he would win. And I just feel like he wants to have a rematch because he knows he's going to go broke. Like, Conor McGregor is no longer a UFC fighter. He's no longer a boxer. I mean, he never was a boxer. He doesn't really have any purpose besides like getting drunk and making YouTube videos and, you know, making TMZ. He's just a rich man who made $100 million off fighting Floyd Mayweather. And he and for some reason, like, there were people in the world who thought that Floyd Mayweather would lose that fight. And so there's people who put money on it. I mean, it was compelling. Like, I watched it. I thought it was an interesting premise until Floyd Mayweather, like, turned on actual boxing and just gave Conor McGregor the business. But Floyd Mayweather got on a show and lied to Tony Robbins, say he actually thinks he can win. So I know he's probably smoking good crack because he's got a lot of money. Also, there's an article on Complex Magazine which talks about how HBO's executives fear that that people are going to cancel their HBO subscriptions now that Game of Thrones is over. And I would just want to tell these executives that you probably don't need to fear as much because people were not subscribing to HBO for just Game of Thrones. People, smart people, were stealing HBO like they have been for decades. Like, I specifically remember, which is interesting because I came up this week when talking about, you know, there was a hashtag like, I'm this old, or, yeah, I'm this old. And it would have like a picture of something old as shit, like a cable box or a flip phone or a Nokia brick or just something. And I saw the box that came up and I was like, oh, wow, we used to steal cable in that box. And now I steal cable now using Cody. And it's like, you know, it's all come full circle. And so people have been stealing HBO for a long ass time, getting the D scramblers. And so Buddy Lowe, I don't think you have to worry about people dropping HBO because they never subscribed in the first place. Anyways, and also there's a lot of I'm not gonna stand for HBO. However, there's a lot of great content on HBO, and particularly better than some of that regular ass TV. Now, before we get into the story that might piss some of you dog owners off, I just want to give a shout out to Patrick Tafua, who called in last week, who said that Bran was going to end up on the Iron Throne, which I think is interesting. Well, one, because technically he didn't end up on the Iron Throne, but also he was right. And it was interesting because Gwendolyn, the woman who plays Brienne of Tarth, has said in years past, there was an actor's studio where she made a prediction on who would be end up on the Iron Throne, and she was right. So I found that to be pretty amazing. However, for our final story of the day, Emma, a healthy Shih Tzu mix, has been euthanized, cremated, and buried, fulfilling the will of her owner, this woman who wanted her dog buried with her. Now, they told me that killing dogs is bad. So why is it okay that this woman wanted her dog dead and buried with her when she died? And why is it okay that, why is that not like a bigger story? Like, why are people not upset about that? Like, people have told me my whole life, and even recently, like, I've gotten very heated arguments about, you know, what is a dog and what does that dog even mean? And people have told me that, hey, Issa, relax. Dogs are people. They got feelings. They are sentient beings, and we need to treat them with respect. Now, if that's true, why do we allow this? Like, this is something that has, you know, thousands of years old. Like, we've seen, like, I don't know if you guys ever studied Egypt, but what pharaohs would do is they would cremate their slaves and bury the slaves with them and bury their wives and bury their cats with them. And we learning about that, we're like, man, that sounds horrible. Those people are alive. Let them live. But no, they didn't. And neither did this woman let her dog live. So, in Virginia, they passed a law in 2014 allowing pet owners to be buried with their pets as long as it's clearly marked. The animals cannot be put in the same grave, crypt, or niche as the remains of the human. So you killed your dog, you cremated it, and your dog can't even be buried with you. It just has to be buried next to you. So you ended that dog's life prematurely so that you, I'm speaking to this woman from beyond the grave. You, yeah, I know she can hear me. You ended that dog's life prematurely so that you and your vanity could be fulfilled. You know what? I hope you are burning in hell, because we all know all dogs go to heaven. And just on that note, I am out. We do this every Thursday, Off the Beaten Path, Issa Arian, from 7 to 8. Tune in. I'm out.
Don't you fall in love with me? Don't you cry yourself to sleep? You don't ever have to leave. Yeah, you traded all your dreams. So don't you cry yourself to sleep? Don't you fall in love with me? You don't ever have to leave. Yeah, you traded all your dreams. So Motorola, how they turn about my name? Yeah, I know these hoes is the same. Yeah, about to hit the city for play. Yeah, I got some smoke on the way. Pretty brown eyes, don't you love me? If it's real, don't put nothing above me. Yeah, I did something, turn to nothing. No, I won't ever do you like they done me. Don't you fall in love with me? Don't you cry yourself to sleep? You don't ever have to leave. Yeah, you traded all your dreams. So don't you cry yourself to sleep? Don't you fall in love with me? You don't ever have to leave. Yeah, you traded all your dreams. So. Never did change. Yes, I know.
you brought me home, and I just kept believing that I'll find her door. I'm lost and I'm open, downs and I'm coping. Reality evoking, miseries are broken, roughs are joking, the spirits have awoken, our hearts we have opened, the dark cold man.